This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. If you're a political junkie, I'm guessing a couple of words will make your skin crawl. Hanging chads. Or you might like pregnant chads or whatever. We didn't know what a chad was before then. After the problems counting ballots in the 2000 election in Florida, municipalities around the country moved to adopt electronic voting systems with the thought that they would be easier to use, more straightforward to count. But even in this election, long after concession speeches had been made and winners celebrated their victories, some places took days later to get the votes counted. Florida, which was considered to be one of the key swing states, had certified their state vote on Saturday, 5 days after the election had been decided. Why? Well, anyway, Hurricane Sandy disrupted ballot box plans in some places so greatly that New Jersey allowed their votes to be cast by email and fax machine, something that experts frowned upon weeks before, but you do what you got to do. How did all that work out? Were their fears justified? Or are we looking, with all this, into a peak of the new norm coming up? That's what we're going to be talking about. Our number is 1-800-989-8255. And here to discuss it is Lawrence Norden. He is Deputy Director of the Democracy Program at the Brennan Center for Justice at NY School of Law here in New York. He's in our New York studios. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ira. Great to be on.
Good to see you this time.
You too.
This time. How would you rate the overall election, electronically speaking?
Look, one of the issues that we have, anecdotally, there certainly were problems, and some of them have gotten a lot of attention. The long lines that people had to wait on when machines broke down, the fact that it's taken so long to count votes in places like Arizona, where they're still counting.
Is that the Senate vote?
Yeah. And some congressional races hang in the balance. One of the issues, actually, though, that we have with judging our system, particularly when it comes to voting machines, is that we don't really keep track of how they're doing nationally in a systematic way. The way, frankly, we do with automobiles or airplanes or really almost any consumer product, where there's a national database keeping track of problems from day to day, people can report them in. We don't do that with voting machines. So if you were to ask me, did the machines do better this time around than they did 2 years ago, I really have no idea. All I can do is look at the news reports as to what happened. And that's a real issue, frankly, with improving the system.
There are other ways to improve the system. Let's talk about a few of the things, because in New Jersey, probably some places in New York where people could not vote because of Sandy, they were allowed to go to pick a voting, you know, pick any voting place that you'd like, walk in and cast a ballot. On the other hand, they couldn't vote for local election. They could vote for president, probably, and vice president, but the local items on their local ballot would not be there. Whatever. Is there a way to create a system where you could go in and they could print a ballot out for you wherever you are?
There is actually. We're not quite there yet with the technology, but we're pretty close. There's something called ballot on demand, where your ballot is just printed out. You give them your address, and they do this in early vote centers in places like Florida already. It's not as fast as we would like, but you certainly I could see the day where we have vote centers and people could basically show up anywhere in their state, in their county, get their ballot, fill it out, and vote. And the machines are capable of counting many, many styles of ballots. So it's certainly within the conceivable future, and we're already doing it to a certain extent already, but I do think the technology needs to be improved a little before it's expanded even further.
There was an experiment done in New Jersey with fax voting.
And internet voting.
We all said before the election, no, don't go there. Did we learn anything useful from it?
I think we learned that. First of all, I want to say New Jersey is in a really tough spot.
It still is.
And the storm hit a week before the election. And I'm not critical of New Jersey in any way. I think they were looking for ways to ensure that people who wanted to vote could vote, and I commend them for that. Having said that, we knew going in that having people vote by internet or fax at this point is could be very unreliable, could be insecure, and I think the experience of New Jersey showed all of that. And trying to do something like that at the last minute, there were lots of difficulties. And in fact, I was involved with a nonpartisan election protection taking phone calls from many places. By far, one of the biggest places we got complaints from was from New Jersey, from people trying to email in their ballots. They weren't being accepted. There were lots of problems.
Crashed
the servers in more than a couple counties. Yeah. So it was a worthy attempt, but I think in the end it didn't go as well as people had hoped it would.
And I guess the fortunate, not speaking in general terms, it's fortunate that that was not a key state, right? If it had happened in a key state, we'd still be doing in court or hearing things going on.
Absolutely. For me, a nightmare scenario, and this is something we need to think about going forward. I think we have to change some of our election rules and the way we run our elections. If that had happened in Florida or Ohio, in addition to all the misery it brought to the citizens of New Jersey and New York, we potentially could have had a constitutional crisis with trying to deal with that. If it was a state that was deciding the presidential election, that could have been a real nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Right. Florida, you think it could happen there again? Well, what did happen in Florida? They were waiting for 5 hours. Some people had heard stories about that.
Yeah. I think what happened in Florida, and we saw this in some other places as well, but I think one of the big problems in Florida is they reduced the early voting period in Florida from 14 days to 8 days. A lot of groups had warned that that could cause problems, and I think in the end, in fact, it did. They eliminated some days that were very popular for people to vote on. And so you were cramming a lot more people on Election Day into potentially fewer polling places than you were in the past. So that was a big problem. Another problem, the ballots were really long in Florida.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that could be a problem.
Yeah, let's take a phone call from Antonio, who's calling from Brazil. Hi, Antonio.
Hi, Ira. Actually, I am in California right now. I am originally from Brazil.
Uh-huh.
And I guess my comment is Brazil has a very large population, and it's a very large country as far as territory. And voting is mandatory. So we can imagine that it should be a hassle to vote. And but what happened is completely different. I mean, we've been voting electronically since the late 90s. And there's no early election. Everything happens in one day. So we have this large amount of people voting in one day electronically, and everything happens just fine, very smoothly. So I just don't understand how in the United States things are so confusing and so messy. I guess my opinion is just that you have so many different local entities and states trying to do things differently that makes things messier and more confusing for people.
Hmm. Good point. Let me get a reaction.
Yeah, that's a great point, Antonio. One of the things I often say when we're talking about our big federal national elections is it's not just one election. It's not even 50 elections. I think a lot of people think, well, we have 50 states running these elections. We really have 4,600 separate jurisdictions running elections, because elections are really run at the county and town level. And I think a lot of people ask, why can't we just have one voting system, one ballot? Unfortunately, that's probably really difficult to do when you look at a place like Los Angeles County, which has, can have 200, 250 contests on the ballot versus a small town in New Hampshire that might have five. On the other hand, I do think we need to think more about at least having some minimal federal standards, because the truth of the matter is when you're voting for something like president, people in New York, people in California really care about the way they're running their elections in Ohio and Florida.
Isn't there some federal commission that's supposed to help deal with some of these standards and issues?
There is. After 2000, and the crisis of understanding how the cracks in election administration, there was an agency formed, the Election Assistance Commission. It was supposed to help establish minimum guidelines, guidelines for security and reliability of voting machines, how to deal with sudden crises like the Superstorm Sandy. Amazingly, it's been without any commissioners for about a year. An executive director.
There's nobody on the committee.
It has not really, unfortunately, it's not been as functioning an agency without commissioners and an executive director for the past. So it's kind of amazing. We went into this huge national election with all of these election administration issues, and it just wasn't there. And the fact of the matter is, it's not just about one election to the next. There are jurisdictions around the country that would like to buy new voting machines, but they're waiting for
the commission.
New guidelines from this commission. Well, so that they buy the machines that are up to the best standards.
Why is there nobody on the commission? Or are there people missing? Are some people there? Or?
The Republicans are supposed to nominate two commissioners, and the Democrats are supposed to nominate two commissioners. There are a number of people in Congress. I don't really understand this. Who would like to do away with the agency? President Obama nominated two commissioners. They're both Democrats. They got a hearing. They never got a vote in the Senate, and the Republicans have not nominated anybody. So. You know, I'm hoping that with the president's call he said we need to fix this system, that I think there's a lot that Congress could do, but the very least it could do is get this commission back up and running so that it can help serve local jurisdictions.
You know, they're in budget cutting mode. So
they are in budget cutting mode. The good news is the Election Assistance Commission really doesn't cost that much. Its budget is incredibly small. I think it was about $11 million or something last year. So. Unfortunately, elections are always the first thing that gets cut. But given how important they are to our entire country, I think spending just a little bit and $11 million isn't a heck of a lot.
One quick question before the break. It was that famous video online of the touchscreen machine that was flipping votes.
Yeah.
How prevalent was that? Was that just one instant? Or?
You know, I think we're going to see more and more of those kinds of things with social media. But it happens. It happens a fair amount. And it's... I think it's really all what it is a calibration issue. It's not like somebody's trying to steal somebody's vote, but it's something that can be fixed certainly long term.
What bothered me also was that the person who was doing it said that the person standing there didn't care.
That's terrible. Those machines should be taken out of service if they're repeatedly doing something.
And
like
we don't know how many votes have been cast before then.
Right.
Either.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to come back and talk more with Lawrence Norden. At 1-800-989-8255 is a number. You can also tweet us at SciFry. How did voting go for you? What would you like to see change for the next voting system? Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday. We're talking about electronic voting systems, technologies. How well did it work this time around? What kind of improvements could we make? Talking with Lawrence Norden, who is Deputy Director of the Democracy Program at the Brennan Center for Justice, NY Law School. What do you study there? Do you study new methods, democracy, how to make voting better? Is there anything new that you're thinking about that would improve the system?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, look, there are lots of things that we could do to improve the system, but the biggest thing we could do, the biggest problem we have in elections actually is around registration. People show up to the polls, they're not in the books, so they have to fill out maybe a provisional ballot, and there are all kinds of concerns with having people know about this. People move; they're still on the rolls. It makes it very difficult when you have rolls full of extra people to plan for elections, frankly, because you don't know how many people are actually registered in your jurisdiction. We have a very antiquated 19th century paper-based registration system. You actually fill out a piece of paper when you register. Somebody then types it in for you. They might make errors when you move. Most people don't do this, but you're supposed to notify your old county that you moved and re-register somewhere else. There's no reason that we should be working on this system. As I said, it's a 19th century-based system. Right now, there are lots of agencies that know when you move. You notify the post office when you move, right, to have your mail forwarded. When you go sign up for your new driver's license with your new address on it, they know about it. And there are
taxes. You pay it taxes.
And all of these are in computerized databases. There's no reason, unless you object, which you could certainly do, that this information shouldn't go directly to the elections offices so that all of this paperwork doesn't have to get done. You're automatically re-registered wherever you went to vote. We could make sure that millions of more people were registered, frankly, this way, and the system would run so much more smoothly. We would avoid all of these issues of the poll worker not being able to find you when they go in, that creating long lines. There are one of the reasons that we have hundreds of thousands of extra ballots being counted in Arizona right now is because they're all provisional ballots. We would get rid of a lot of these provisional ballots where they have to double check whether the person is actually correctly registered in their county. So that's definitely our number one thing that we're pushing. We think it would solve a lot of election issues.
Just integrating all that data from different places, get it some registry with it all.
One central computerized registry. It would bring our registration system up to the 21st century. And quite frankly, we have, we're the leading democracy in the world, but we're way behind lots of other countries in this.
And why not register online, or is that not secure?
Well, that's part of it. Frankly, we should register online, and you should be able to go online and say, wait a second, this information about me is incorrect. It says I'm on 9th Street. I'm actually on 10th Street, or I moved from one county to the next. Let me fix this. It would make it so much easier, faster, and more accurate.
No app for that, huh?
Well, some states, a lot of states are doing this, I have to say. We're slowly doing it, but it's being done very piecemeal. And I would like to see this done on a federal level.
Who's the best state? I don't want you to play favorites. I know you hate to do that. But who's out front?
Well, on this issue, there are a number of states that are doing very well. Delaware is doing a great job. They've automated their registration at DMVs. Lots of states are doing online registration now. Oregon, New York just actually started doing online registration. Washington State, there are lots of states that are moving, but it's much slower than it should be.
Every time we talk about this and we talk about creating a national database, there are people of concerns about security, about transparency, stealing your data. Do you think there's a system out there that would satisfy everybody?
I do, actually. We've thought very deeply about this, and it's already being done in some places, but there's a way of doing this so it's secure, and so that we ensure that that people's information is kept private for sure.
Well, I want to thank you very much for taking that. This is we learned a lot today, and
great.
I'm optimistic, guardedly optimistic about the future.
I think we should be. The good news is in the attention to the problems of the election. I think there is renewed focus on this, and these issues are very fixable. That is reason for being optimistic. We're not talking about rocket science here. They're actually real simple solutions that we've already seen implemented in some places.
Yeah. Well, maybe if we were talking about rocket science, it would be easy.
Maybe so.
Larry Norden is at the Brennan School for Justice at NYU School of Law here in New York. Thanks for coming in and being part of this.
Thanks for having me on again, Ira.
You're welcome.